Okay, we are in the middle of Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. We just started. We actually discussed a number of ideas. Okay, let's continue. Okay, let's review the pasuk. The pasuk is Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. Va'layla ha'hu dadadash nasa melech va'yomer. The sleep of the melech was disturbed. Va'yomer. He gave the command, the order, they should bring the sefer of the records, the historical records, the chronicles. Divrei no, so it's not, obviously it's not the sefer. Divrei Hayam is not, it wasn't written yet. It can't possibly be, because it was written.
The same words.
Okay, the chronicles. Divrei Hayim, the unique of the Melech, and it should be read before the king. And as we discussed at great length yesterday, he was looking for Rashi. We read the Rashi. Rashi explained that he was deeply disturbed as why Esther invited Haman to the party. He felt there's a conspiracy, there's something going on that he does not understand, and he was baffled that he could not make sense of what was taking place. And he asked all of his advisors, he consulted with the intelligence community, and they had nothing to say. They were also likewise in the dark. They did not know why, what was going on. How could it be there's no one in society that will not, there must be someone in society that knows the secret who will come forward and tell me the secret. I'm looking for the person to reveal the secret. And maybe in the past there was a person who told me secrets, but I was ungrateful. I did not reciprocate. I did not give him honor, and therefore he has given up on me. He doesn't want. He had this people read from the Sefer HaZichronos to discover that perhaps in the past there was a person who indeed revealed secrets. He would now contact him and ask him if he has anything new to say, to explain why, to shed light on why Esther is acting in this very strange way, and why Haman was invited to the party. Okay, so we discussed a number of ideas. Let's now jump into the Targum. It's a massively long Targum. I was able to figure out most of it, but there is one part that I don't understand, and hopefully you will be able to fill in the missing details. Let's see. There's a lot of themes.
Is this considered the turning point of the story?
Yes. This is the Iker. This is the according to one opinion in the Gemara, this is the part of the Megillah you have to read.
Right.
That you start reading with Balai Elahu. In fact, in Halacha, the minhag is that the Baal Koyre, the Baal Kriya, he raises his voice when he reaches the pasuk Balai Elahu. He's supposed to keep his voice on a higher level for the remainder of the Megillah. I've yet to be able to find the Baal Kriya that's able to keep to raise his voice the entire second half of the Megillah. But at least the minhag is, at least for this pasuk alone, at least he raises his voice. He introduces some drama into the reading of the Megillah to emphasize that this is the key point in the Megillah. There's also another very interesting minhag. Some do, some do not. And when they come to the word Shnas HaMelech, they sing the word HaMelech in the same nigun as on Rosh Hashanah before Baruch Hu, the Shlech Tzibur, HaMelech. Right, that's so you don't sing the minhag of HaMelech in the regular nigun of the Megillah, but you say the word HaMelech in the same nigun as what the Baal Tzvila, when he stands, begins Shachris. We know it's a very unique minhag with the Baal Tzvila. Wherever he's sitting, from that location, he sings HaMelech, and then he ascends the Amud to continue davening. Why? Why do we sing in that nigun? So we discussed this, because the Gemara explicitly says that when it says here the word Melech, it refers to the sleep of the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael, and the Targum is going to mention this in a moment, but when HaKlal Yisrael are not doing the Ritzoyne Shel Makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes believe that he is sleeping. He is not not conscious, he's not aware of the tzara of Klal Yisrael. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was aroused. The pasuk alludes to the fact Balailahu nadid ashnas amelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sleep was disturbed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at this point in time, he changed his mind. He decided he's going to bring the salvation of Klal Yisrael. We allude to that here in this pasuk by singing the word Hamelech and the melody of the word Hamelech that is sung by the Baal Shachris on the Yomim Noiroim. Not everyone does this. This was really, it's a minik, it's a chassidus, the minik sans. The minik comes from the Divrei HaChaim. The Divrei HaChaim, that was their minug. Some people today would live in the global melting pot. Everyone takes from everyone else and you do fine. When I was a child, the first time I heard someone do this, I thought he was making litzanis. I thought about the Valkriya. You know, sometimes the Purim gets a little bit out of hand and people come to shul costumes and they start doing all these strange things. I thought when the Valkriya, when he sang HaMelech and the Nigun of the Melech of the Yom Noiroim, he was making litzanis. But as I got older, I realized it's not so. That's what the minig was in Sans. And that's the many people today do this to allude to the Gemara. Am I saying things that are strange here? Anyone have seen this?
No.
You never seen this?
I thought raising the voice.
Hamelech. To say the word Hamelech in the nigun of the Melech from the Yamim Noiroim. You've seen it done?
Yeah, no?
No one's seen that.
The
raise, but that's a Shulchan Aruch. The Machad and the Shulchan Aruch, it says you're supposed to raise your voice. But this Hamelech, it's a Chassidus Sheminag. But as I told you, today a lot of the Litvaks do the Chassidus Sheminagim to give more flavor to the reading of the Megillah. Alright, so maybe not everyone does, but I've seen it done. And, okay, fine. So this is the minig, and because again, alludes to the Gemara. Now let's see the Targum. The Targum over here is very, very elaborate. There are a lot of ideas. I told you in the past, I don't know the translation of all the words, and hopefully you'll help me with some of the words, and if not, at least we'll just try to extract some of the ideas of the Targum. Here we go. Bay Belelia. What?
You weren't kidding.
Bei Belelia ha'achu nidash shinsa demalka. Bei Belelia ha'achu nifak porkana lihu doe. It appears that the first line is a general introduction to the entire Targum. On that same night, the sleep of the king was disturbed, and on that night, a salvation sprouted for the Jewish people. So he's hinting that this disturbance of the sleep, he doesn't say at this point whose sleep it was. So was it the sleep of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, or was it the sleep of the Melech Achashverosh? That he's going to explain, but this is at least a general introduction. On that night is when the salvation began. This is very critical, as he mentioned, that's the Iker part of the Megillah. Until now, everything that's happening until now was just a plan. Was first all of the background, and then came the actual gezerah, the tzara for Klal Yisrael, and now came the next part of the Megillah is where Klal Yisrael, they responded, they did tshuva, and they prepared themselves, and now finally we come to the point of here in the Megillah where salvation is going to come forth. Here we go. Bei Belelia, that was on that night, Ida Baras Sara Libesei Da Avimelech. Now, the word Ida Baras either means was brought or means was spoke. And both of them go together, I think, is that then this night, Esther was taken to the home of Avimelech. She was abducted. And what happened when she was abducted in the home of Avimelech? Melech Pelishtim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed up all of their openings, and he was not able to go to the Beis HaKisei. His wife and servants were not able to give birth, and it was a miracle HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Avimelech on that night when he illegally abducted Sarah, the wife of Avram. And so it includes two things, that Sarah happened, but also miracles happened. Miracles happened on that night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected Sarah Imenu from harm that would come to her from Avimelech. And as we mentioned many times, there is a very powerful relationship, correlation between Sarah Imenu and Esther Hamalka. Esther ruled over 127 Medinos, corresponding to the 127 years of the life of Sarah Imenu. So again, here we see this connection in the beginning of this pasuk in the Targum of Balailahu Nodudah Shnas Hamelach. What is interesting, I'm just asking this, I'm just curious, I don't know the answer, is what about when Paro abducted Sarah? There are two separate events in Chumash, in Chumash Bereishis. There was a time when Paro abducted Sarah, and then there was a time when Avimelech, Melech Pelishtim, took Sarah to his home.
What
so,
causes different?
What?
Avram went down to Mitzrayim because of
the famine.
Yeah. When Avimelech abducted Sarah, what was the cause of that?
I don't know. But there were two separate stories. There were two separate events. Both times Avram said to Sarah, "Tell the people here that you are my sister." And Sarah listened. They took her. And she was taken, which was still a chet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had complaints against Paro, had complaints against Avimelech. Over here it says in the Targum we have a tradition that Avimelech, the king of Pelishtim, when he took Sarah, it was the night of Pesach. That's, but it implies that when Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, took Sarah for the first time, before Avimelech, it does not say anywhere that it took place on the night of Pesach. Why not? What's the difference? What?
There's that theme. Yeah. That the night of Pesach is the night of Geulah.
Yeah.
That there was something like Makos occurred to Avimelech.
Yeah.
So there's this theme that runs through that.
Okay.
That's why we mentioned it in the Haggadah. If I can see a lila.
Okay, but only Avimelech, but not Paro.
Right. Okay. We don't hear about any. I don't think when.
There was also a miracle. No, there was no miracle.
What kind of miracle was it? A plague-like miracle?
Doesn't say anything. Okay. So the only time we find there were miracles was when Avimelech took Sarah. Okay, that's interesting. Next. It was on this night when the firstborns of Egypt were slain. Now we discussed yesterday that it's not exactly the same night. We discussed it according to Rashi, then this night, Balayalahu, was the night of the 16th, not the night of the 15th. It was Sveika the Yoma. And according to, of course, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim took place on the night of the 15th, not on the night of the 16th. So it's interesting that the Targum says it was that very same night. The question is even stronger because the Targum himself seems to say that this event took place on the 17th. From the Targum, it's Mashma, the 3 days were 15, 16, 17. Rashi taught us it took place, the fast was 14, 15, 16. But the Targum says clearly that the night this party took place on day 17. So the 17th, so how could the Targum now go say that it was on that very same night when Yitzias Mitzrayim took place and the firstborns were slain? I still did see one idea, that the reason why we observe Sveika D'Yoma is because we have a suffix, is Pesach the first night or is Pesach the second night? Today, when the calendar has been established, we only observe the second night because as a Chumrah, Sveika D'Yoma, we know for sure that the first night is the real night of Pesach. However, in the time of the Megillah, we were assuming they were Mekadesh Al-Pi Re'iyah in Yerushalayim, because a whole group of people already returned to Yerushalayim, they were Mekadesh there, and in this particular year, it was a Chodesh. It was a Chodesh Mole, the Adar was Mole, which means the real day of Pesach indeed was the second day of Pesach. So indeed it works out very well. They observed 2 days of Pesach, day 14, 15, 16, but the truth was it was really 15, 16, 17. There's not a contradiction between the Targum and, when they observed 14, 15, and 16, they thought they were observing day 14, 15, 16, but the truth was it was really day 13, 14, and 15, because the real day of Pesach was the second day of Pesach. That was the real 15th day of the month. And then indeed it comes out that it's correct, and when it says here in the Targum that it was on this very night when Yitzias Mitzrayim occurred and the firstborns were slain, it is indeed correct. Okay, whatever it is, it says over here that this was the same time as Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Targum continues, Bebel El Yahu Isgalion Nivuon Lin Vion V'chelmin L'chelmei Chiv Vaya. Now, I don't know more what it means in the translation. On this night, prophecy came forth to the prophets, and people who dream had visions. Now, what are we referring to? Are we referring to a specific event in Jewish history? Are we referring to this very night? What exactly does this mean? I do not know. Does this mean...
Could we be referring to Yosef?
It says, Nivuon Lin Vion. I don't know. I don't know who it says. This night is a night, it's an auspicious time for prophecy. The prophets receive prophecy, and dreamers receive, experience visions. I don't know more than that.
That he couldn't sleep that night.
That's late. That's coming, but he's not a Navi. He's not a Navi. And also his...
It's a general
On this night, Iskalion Nivuon Lin Vion. The prophets received prophecy. The Chelmin L'Chelmei, people who dream, they had contact from the other side, they saw visions. I don't know more than that. Let's go further.
Is there anything in the Yechatzi HaLaila, any of the things recounted there that could be...
Some of them, Sancheriv.
Some of the others are.
Balshetzar.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what do you see? What do you have there?
It goes from Dante Melech to Ror Bachalam, which we already mentioned.
Avimelech.
And then if Kadata Arami Be'emesh, Lavan.
Okay, Lavan. That's a good...
And then after that, then it goes to Zerah Bechorei and Pasros and Machatzka Bechatzi Amayla. That's Machatz Bechoros.
Okay. There's also Sancheriv and Balshetzar. Sancheriv and Balshetzar. You have Lavan, you have Avimelech. Okay, and then the Gula Hasidah. There's also a reference to the Gula Hasidah. Okay, let's hear further. Babel Elia, that night, Ahu Israel, is that very night, is Regish Alma Kula Medinon, all of the countries, V'chol Da Yorehon, and all of the inhabitants, Evlo Rabah B'chol Kirachaya, a great mourning in all of the cities, Mispida Vilola, eulogizing, wailing, B'chol Medinasa, Uleimin, young men, Asirin, were... Okay, Asirin, Besakin, were... No, we're referring now on this night, the night of Purim, this very night, the night Balayla, who literally on this night when Esther invited, when Achashverosh could not sleep, all of the Jewish people were in a state of mourning. We're calling them the entire world. They are the important ones in the world. And all the Medinos, the young men, Asirin v'Sakin v'Savin v'Savon Shakfin alibon, they put sackcloth and ash. I'm not exactly sure the exact translation, but it means over here that they dressed themselves in sackcloth and ash. There was mourning for the all. Everyone was in a state of mourning. The chulon tzavchin b'mered uvekol rav meyalalin v'amrin, and they were crying out in bitterness, and with a wailing voice they would say, "Vai, woe to us, dechazinon oko aloka, that we witness a tragedy upon tragedy, usvira al tivira, a broken situation upon another broken situation, umitavrona kadmaol lo ito seinon." I think this means is that we have not yet healed from our prior tragedy. The Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. We have been exiled. We are suffering. So you would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us a chance to recuperate, to heal before he would bring upon us another tragedy. So this over here itself is a very powerful idea that the reason why this tragedy of Purim was so great was because we were still sick. We were still in a state of illness, of loneliness, and now it's... Right, wounds. Usviro al tatviro umitavrona kadmo lo ito seinon. We have not yet healed from our prior tragedy. Uli macha sono lo isihivas osu. Our wound has not yet brought up healing. Period. Umimad vono lo is nechamno, and we have not had comfort. Ke'umimadvana means our agony has not yet, like Tushbuchasa v'nechemasa. We have not yet received comfort. V'cheveli bana lo aravu minada the kiryas. And the keve libano lo avaru min. I don't know exactly what these words mean. Does anyone have any idea what these words mean? I think it means the pain of our heart have not passed from before us. Why not? Why are we still in a state of mourning? Because the kiryas avahasana retisha al ara, because the city of our forefathers, Yerushalayim, is retisha al ara, is in a lowly state. Something along those lines. Umakisho sigar san'o, our enemies have shut down the Beis HaMikdash. Va'azorosono deshishu ba'ale devavono, and our help has been silenced by our enemies. Okay, so the basic gist over here, this expression over here, is bringing out a very powerful idea, which is critical to understand the tzara of the poor miracle. Poor miracle was a tzara upon a tzara. Most of the events that we focus on in Jewish history, the miracles and our tzaros, are events where we were doing well and we slipped. Chanukah was a time when we had autonomy. We had the Beis HaMikdash. It was once upon a time our Beis HaMikdash. We were living in Eretz Yisrael. And then an enemy came upon us and caused us great harm. We recovered. The Chashmonaim overtook the Yevanim. And we went back to the good old days. We went back to our state of having the Beis HaMikdash, having Yerushalayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim, we were doing well in Yitzias, we were doing well in Egypt. We came down there to survive. And then all of a sudden the Egyptians started enslaving us and killing us. Here we are in a state of suffering. The Beis HaMikdash has only been destroyed 70 years ago. Klal Yisrael is in Golos. They are bewildered. They are lost. They're vulnerable. And now, on top of that, a new tzara, lahashmid laharugul abedes kol hayehudim. It's too much to bear. In fact, the miracle of Purim, the story of Purim, is called the Anochi Haster Astir Parnai Bayomahu. There is a double expression of hiddenness. It's considered to be the ultimate Hester Panim. Not one layer of Hester Panim, but a double layer of Hester Panim. And that's explained very clearly here in this Targum, where he's telling us we are in the middle of attempting to recover from Tzara number one, and now, before we have a chance to recover, we now have another tzara on our heads. Lahashmid laharugul abedes kol hayehudim. That puts the story of Purim in an entirely different light. Okay, it's like a person, Rachman Litzlan, is deathly ill. He's suffering from one terminal illness. And then, when maybe there's a glimmer of hope that maybe the doctors see they have some medicine which maybe can give the person a little bit of hope, all of a sudden he's diagnosed with another type of illness, which is also in itself something which is terminal, which will kill the person. So the person is miyayish. I was trying to krich out of the first problem, and now on top of that I have another problem that's even worse. So such a matziv is hopeless. Such a matziv is the ultimate despair, and that's how we have to look at the story of Purim. We were already in a state, we were in a lowly state of golus, and now on top of that, bang, another gzeru l'hashmul harugul abed. Now, he goes further. He goes on to say, we're not even finished, now we're going to compound the tragedy. No point in time in history was there ever such a gzeru. Even Paro was only goyzer on the infants, on the baby boys. Kol ha-bein ha-yiloid ha-yo-erat ha-shlichu. The girls can live, the baby girls can live, and the adults can live, the teenagers can live, the zakenim can live. Only thing that Paro decided was kol ha-bein ha-yiloid, all of the newly born boys have to be put to death.
And that's temporary also.
And that was only temporary until he gets Dagnini Paro. And in the meantime, you'll be slaves, you'll serve me, you'll build peace on Ramses. But this gezerah, now go through history, all the different gezerah, yeah, what?
That Haman said, I'm not going to make the same mistakes as others made in history. And it includes this.
I'm going to go for genocide. Okay. So that's exactly what the Targum here says. He's drawing from that Medesh Paro, Paro, Umitzra'eh, Paro and the Egyptians, Lo Atsu Alonod, did not decree Kahada Atsasa. They never were going to such a horrible gzeru l'hashmim l'harigam that's called Yehudim u'malchei amamaya, and all of the kings of the world in the previous generations that tried to do harm to the Jewish people lo chashivu alano ki ma chashavta hada, like this gzeru l'mehavei, that the whole world should be prepared for this fateful day, the 13th day of Adar, to destroy l'mehevei asidin liyom hadein l'sheit soyusona, to obliterate us me'ala pe'ara. Never was there such a thing in the world where there was such a gzera. Even the Nebuchadnezzar, when they saw the Beit HaMikdash, it was only to exile the Jewish people. It wasn't to destroy the Jewish people. Okay, now the next part, I don't really know what it means, so maybe you can help me. Gilei razin gila lei razah dino l'mordechai. This gezera, it appears, was revealed to Mordechai. The gezeras mosana, that this gezera is gazras al lebeis Yisrael, was decreed upon the Jewish people. Because I guess it means to be that it was really a secret. At this point in time, the document said liyos asidim layom hazeh. No one knew exactly what it said in the document. It just said everyone should be prepared that you're going to do something on this day. But Mordechai knew the secret. He knew that the gzer was against the Jewish people. Ve'uf la'avdin la'ahamon lo zabinu yosana. And he also knew that they were not going to be able to be sold as slaves. So Mordechai,
this is like Esther says,
Ilu lavodim ulishvos nimkarnu hecharashti. If you would have at least sold us as slaves, we would have been silent.
Right.
But it's worse. Okay. So here he's coming over here to emphasize it's a wound upon the wound. Number two, historically, it was never such a gezerah lahashmid laharagul la'abed. It's trying to compound the depth, how deep the tzara was for Klal Yisrael. It was unprecedented in every way and form. Period. Now that we've got that out of the way, now we go to a new idea. Babel Eliyahu, that night, now he's going to describe that this night no one slept. Okay, the Medrash elaborates upon this, the same idea, but the Targum is going in his way. On this night, no one was able to sleep. Not Achashverosh, not Haman, not Esther, not Mordechai, not the Jewish people, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a night of no sleeping. No one slept on this night. Babel Elahu on that night, Nidash Shinsei, the Kutsha Brichu Mimiroimah. So here the Targum is interpreting the Pasuk by Lailu Nidash Nas HaMelech. It's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shinosoi Shel Malkoi Shel Oilam. The Ribboinah Shel Oilam. Does not say here HaMelech Achashverosh. It says in the Pasuk HaMelech. And when it says HaMelech without Achashverosh, it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot sleep. The In Lok Siv Hodein. And if not for this Pasuk, you would have no right to say such a thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sleeps. This pasuk gives us the impression that Kadosh Baruch Hu goes to sleep. How could that possibly be? We know that it says in the pasuk, "Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael," morning. So this obviously is an exception. If not for the
maybe
fact that
maybe he was inactive.
Oh, right. That's what the Targum goes on to say. The ilok sivha. Then, if not for this pasuk, "Kol lo hava efshar l'memra," you cannot possibly make such a statement because it says in the pasuk, "The siv ura, wake up." Lama Sishan Hashem, why are you sleeping, Hashem? Chas v'shalom, how could you say such a thing? Leis kodamo. What ur lama sishan?
That means you are sleeping.
So you would not be able to say such a thing. It doesn't say Hashem. Ur lama sishan. Okay, that's
ur lama sishan.
That's in Chav Beis. Okay, so he's bringing another pasuk. Chas v'shalom leis. How could you say? How could the pasuk say this? But another shnasanel. How could it say in the pasuk of ur lama sishan? Chas v'shalom leis. Kodomoi Sheina, there is no such thing as sleep before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. He's going to quote it in the Pasek. Ella. So what then is the answer? So here the Targum is giving the answer. The answer is Ella. Kol kad when chotion beis Yisrael, when the Jewish people sin, avad garmei dichvos domich. Hashem makes believe. He makes it appear to an observer as if he is sleeping. Biram, but kad of din ri'usei, when we, the Jewish people, do his will, we are doing ritzoyne shel makoim, lo no'im v'lo domich nitar Yisrael. Then we apply the pasuk, hinei lo yonu v'lo yishon shomer, the guardian of Yisrael. So therefore the pasuk of here is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes belief. It's just make belief. Fine. So we've described that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unable to sleep. Who else was unable to sleep on this night? Beibel Eliyahu nidas shinsei de Mordechai tzadikah. Mordechai the tzadik also cannot sleep. Why? The have shohid. Shohid, isn't that an Arabic word?
Yeah, it means a martyr.
A martyr. So here it's not what it means in Aramaic. It means he was shohid, he was disturbed. He was disturbed. V'lo shachiv, he was awake.
Martyrs are disturbed.
Their martyrs are disturbed.
Are disturbed, they really are. Shohid v'lo shachiv. V'have shachiv v'lo domich. He was lying on his bed. V'loy domich, or he, it means he attempted to go to sleep, but v'loy domich, he was unable to fall asleep. The havad. Now here, this is a very important targum. We've referred to this in the beginning of the Megillah. The have beis Yisrael miskanshin v'yosvin kodomoy. The Jewish people came knocking on his door in the middle of the night to blame him for all of their problems, and they said to him, the amun lay Mordechai. It's because of you we're suffering. It's because of you we're slated for genocide. Mordechai, at you, goramta lana yoskol bishto hada. You have caused us this tragedy. This tragedy is all your fault. Ve'ein, why? Because ve'ein at kamta min kadam haman rashia. If only you would have stood up in his presence when he passed by, you were sitting in the street and he walked by, if only you would have given him some attention. And furthermore, the number one is to stand. If Haman was sitting, he was sitting on the bus and Haman enters, you stand up. Mordechai refused to stand. Furthermore, v'chorata, you also should have bowed. Usigidta, prostrated, lay, lo asas alano, kol akso hada, this tragedy. Aksa means this tragedy would not have befallen us. It's all your fault. They came this night to blame Mordechai. What's it going to do for them, blaming Mordechai? So the Medrash really goes on to say it's not too late. Why don't you go and make peace with him? Go to his home now in the middle of the night, knock on his door. He'll be very happy that you'll come to bow down before him and to make peace with him. And maybe then somehow he will decide to reverse the gzeira. Mordechai was adamant. Nesiv Mordechai v'amar lahon. On this night, Chatzai Salaila, he responded to the people and he said to them, Levusha di havol lavash haman rashia, tzairon aloi trein tzalmen. New details of what exactly happened on this night. He said that Haman, he wore a cloak which had embroidered within two images, two different forms of Avodah Zarah. I mean, how many forms of Avodah Zarah do you need? What exactly does this mean? I don't know what it means. Two. It says two. Train tzalmin. Chad min kodomoy. One in the front.
One was in front, one was in back.
One v'chad min basroi. Either way they look, you have to bow down. From the front or the back. The in kamis usigid. But it must mean something deeper. In front and the back means, like, you know, v'hoser satan milifaneinu u'me'achareinu. There's an avodah zar in front of you, this fear of the future, and this charata al ha'avar. It's also a form of avodah zara. He wanted to obliterate, to rewrite history, the past. The Jewish people never existed, and the future, they will also have no future. This was his form of avodah zara.
Well,
and
there was his shushpinin, so he's even better than the people who are walking around in the front and the back.
Both the front and the back. He's the God. He's Alpha. He's above all. The in komis. So Mordechai continues to relate. The in if komis usigidis lay. If I would have stood up and bowed down before him, ishta kochis, it would result. The eflach lita avosa, I would worship an idol. And everyone knows the atun yodin. Everyone knows. You all know that man defalach lita avosa. Anyone that bows down to an idol, yevad min olmo hodein, is lost from this world, umitrad min almo de osei, and is denied, driven out from the next world. It is also yehareg ve'al yavar, to bow down to an avodah zara. Obviously, he was hinting to them, I'm not going to repeat your mistake. Klal Yisrael, the previous generation, bowed down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, and the Gemara says that was one of the primary reasons as to why the Jewish people were suffering with this Gezeira L'Hashru L'Harugul Abedis Kol HaYehudim. They bowed down to the idol in Nebuchadnezzar, and they were Nener Me'osa Sudah from the Sudah V'Hashverosh. So therefore he's basically telling them, I'm not going to repeat the mistake of our forefathers, our parents, what they did, and therefore everyone knows you do not bow down to idols. Next, Vishas school. Now here, over here, is to the great credit of Klal Yisrael. Maybe this is really the reason why the Targum is telling us this event. Ushesakun mine kulhon. They were quiet. They accepted his argument. Now this is very, very high praise. Okay, this is great praise. That's the whole reason why we're bringing it down. Klal Yisrael had for them a very great schus. That if someone, if you have a complaint, and someone tells you the reason, and you say, I accept the reason, and you are right, what greater schus can you possibly have? To acknowledge your shortcomings, and to acknowledge that the Talmidei Chachamim, when they make a decision, they are saying the correct thing. Okay, how many times you've seen society with people, they insult someone, they embarrass someone, they insult someone, they do it for the wrong reason, okay, for the wrong reason, and then later they apologize, and they're sincere, they are sincere in their apology, and the victim says, I don't accept your apology, too little, too late. So it's a very great milo if a person does something wrong and sincerely apologizes for what he has done, for the victim to say, I accept your apology. That's a degree of nobility, to accept someone's apology. Al achas kama v'kama, when the person really did nothing wrong to begin with. And here, Mordechai did nothing wrong. He's not allowed to bow down to an Avodah Zarah. He's coming to correct the mistake that their fathers made in the previous generation. And Klal Yisrael did not understand that. And they complained. And now for them to accept his argument is obviously a very great schus for Klal Yisrael. Okay, next. Who else could not sleep on this night? Bei Belelia, on this night, Nidosh Shinsa, the Haman Rishia. Haman also could not. And this we elaborated in the great length in the previous post, the previous parak. To have a Shohid. He also was a shahid. He also was disturbed. V'lo shachiv, and could not sleep. Why not? V'havi shachiv, he tried to go to sleep. V'lo domich, but he could not fall asleep. Why? Mei chamas, because v'hava misaken yos tzliva l'mitzlav yos Mordechai alo. He was busy the whole night making the gallows, preparing the gallows, and rehearsal. They went through the dress rehearsal. They took the beam out of his home. They stood it up, and he ascended. He put the noose around his neck. Period. V'lo havi yadai. Here the Targum elaborates, Haman did not realize that he was preparing the gallows for himself. He was making it for himself. Maybe that's really why he couldn't sleep, because his mazel knew. The mazel knew that the gallows that are being prepared were for himself, and therefore that prevented him from falling asleep. Next, who else could not sleep on this night? She was in the kitchen. She was baking food for the party. That's what it says. Right? That's what it says here. The havas of das lachma. She was preparing bread. Matzah. It was the night of Pesach. She was baking matzah. To bake matzah on Pesach. Are you allowed to do that? Technically, of course, you're allowed to do that. Right? Lachma la'alo yos haman b'sheirusa. To prepare bread for the party, which Haman will come and eat in that party, in the meal. Imalka Achashverosh. What? Oh, so she was preparing. She was preparing bread. It says she was. They served kosher food at the party.
Like that revealed she's Jewish.
She has. Well, she at the party. She will reveal that she's Jewish. They like matzah. It tastes good. Achashverosh. You know, they were very accommodating. Look, if you have Chinese food, you can have Mexican food, and Italian food, so what's so bad? Jewish food. You have Jewish food. A lot of salt, and a lot of cholesterol.
Matzah has no salt.
Next. Bei Belel Yahuwah, that night, who else could not sleep? Nidas Shinsei. The Malka Achashverosh Tipsha, the foolish king. Here he's giving him a very nice title. The Havish Shohid. He also was a Shohid. Achashverosh. V'lo Shachiv, he could not sleep. He tried. V'havish Shachiv, he tried to go to sleep, but he could not fall asleep. Din, why? Din nikat yosei rucha dinokoto l'malke. Because the rucha dinokto l'malke v'chavtas yosei kululelia. It was bothering him. There was something, his spirit was banging upon him the entire night. What was he saying? Now it's hard to translate it one more time. The Yosei Rucha, his spirit came, a ruach, a spirit took him, and Yosei Dinokota that took hold of him, Lamalka v'chavtas, banged him, was disturbing him, Yosei Kulalil. Now what was the problem? Now I'm not exactly the direct translation, let's see what it says. Onei, he raised up his voice and he complained. V'chein amar, l'chol rav rivonoi, ma da'chilis lo hanoli, ma dishosis lo iskabel alai. Lo iskabel alai, The food and drink that you've given me, I'm not sure putting the comma in the right place, it does not sit well with me. He suspected that he was poisoned. He suspected, if I can't sleep, obviously I'm suffering from some illness. It must be the food that I ate this past day, I was poisoned. Alai Shemaya Ramin, Alai Shemaya Ramin, Alai Ushme Shemaya Mirimin Bikolehon, Heido Matnon Amoris Lemishbak Limdinso. How could it be? Now, I don't know what this means over here. The heavens are upon me, meaning I control the entire world. Shemaya Ramin Alai, Ushme Shemaya Mirimin Bikolehon. They raise their voice. Heido Matnon Amoris.
He's saying that they're angry.
They're angry, okay. Heidon Matnon Amoris, Lemishbak Limdinto, Velo Shavkis Lon, O Esther, Vahomon, Mechavnin.
Either this or that.
Mechavnin Lemiktal Yossi, the law, Alas Esther, Lesherusa, Imi Elohomon, Bilho Dohi. I don't know the exact words, but it means over here that he was disturbed, that it seems someone's trying to kill him. Someone over here, there's a conspiracy. He suspected that there is a conspiracy against him because Haman and Esther are coming to a party. It must be they are collaborating and they're going to take his life, and therefore there's something that's wrong. Now the Medrash elaborates a little bit more. Maybe this read into the word. He complained first. He wanted first to kill all of the servants. The first thing he did was he suspected that he was poisoned because he could not fall asleep. So he said, bring the butler, bring out the Sarah Ephraim, Sarah Mashke, bring all the servants. You're all going to be put to death. They said to him, we didn't poison you, we'll prove it to you, because you ate exactly the same food as Esther and Haman. You came to the party only a few hours ago, you came to the party and you were served food at the party, and who was there? Esther and Haman ate the same food. Now, that's not so simple, because Esther did not eat. Esther was fasting. So does that really mean that he ate? She ate, or maybe she made believe that she ate. So, and Haman, and as far as we know, we have not received on our police scanner and any EMS call to Haman's house and to Esther's residence that she's in emergency, that she had solo, that she's dying because of food poisoning. As far as we know, they're not in the hospital for food poisoning, and they ate the same food that you ate, so therefore you were not poisoned. So he accepted it. It says in the Medrash, he accepted their argument, and he decided not to kill everyone. It was a big yom for them. Stay alive, live one more, die tomorrow, live one more day. In the meantime, he says, so why then can't I sleep? It must be because there's something that's bothering. What's bothering me? It must be there's a conspiracy. The conspiracy is to kill me, and that explains why Esther and Haman are coming to the party tomorrow. Something along those lines, I don't know the exact translation. Next, who else could not sleep on this night? Bebel El Yahu, all on this night, all Dachron, the remembrance of Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, Kodom, Avundi, V'Shmaya, the Zecher of the Avos went before heaven. What exactly happened? How did the remembrance of the Avos go before heaven? Because they were awakened by the Malach. The Ishtalach min Meroima, Malacha, Hu Michael Rav Chayolo di Yisrael. The Malach Michael, the master of the army of the Jewish people, was dispatched to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to awake them and to tell them to appear before the Kisya Kavo to pray for the Jewish people to be mevatel the Gezerah. The Yesei Bereisha, the Malka, and the Yesei Bereisha, the Malka, they sat at the Reisha, the Malka, Unidas Yoshnosi Mine Kulalelio, Adi Omar La Allah. Okay, fine, now, fine. And then they. Period. The Yesei Bereisha, the Malka, I'm not sure who's standing there by the Reish of the Malcha. Maybe it's the Malach Michoel. I don't know what this means. Unidadya Shinsa Mine Kula Lelia, and his sleep was disturbed the entire night. Adi Omala Alano Kodamo Yosefer Dochranaya. So now finally we get to the part of the Megillah where he tells them to bring the Sefer Zichronos. Mile Dioma, the events chronicles, the things that happened in the past. Vahavo Karyan Bey Kodamalka Avde De Nehon the Malke Kodamohe. And they read before him the servants of his judges, the Malke of the king, Kadomei.
They read the stories that happened to the previous
Malachim. The previous Malachim, Al-Dinehon, the Malke Kadomei, the previous kings, the Havimin Kadomo before him, the Sivla El Min Eno, the Malka. And they sat right in front of the presence of the king. They were sitting right in front of him. And as they were speaking, all of a sudden, what does Ahasuerus see? V'chazei kidmus gevar onei. He sees a person. He sees a person lingering, loitering outside. Onei v'omar le'lamalka. And they say to the king, onei v'onei le'lamalka. They say to the king, Haman bohe diniktilach, Haman wants to kill you, v'namlich yaseichi lufach, and rule in your place. V'hamakdim b'tzafra, and he's going to get up early in the morning, uvoy l'mishal minoch gavro, he's going to want to take from you the person, the far koch min mosa, that redeemed you from death, uvoy l'miklin, to kill him, to kill him. Elo Amal, if you want to test, if you really want to do a test, ask Haman if what he wants to know is, I didn't explain it, but over here he's having a dream.
Yes.
Okay, he's having a dream. Haman over here, he's dozing. He's dozing. Achashverosh is having a dream. He's dozing. They brought the Sefer HaZichronos to bring before him. They're reading it. It's very boring. What happened to his predecessors? And he dozes off, and in the dream, they tell him, the Baal HaChalaimus tells him that Haman wants to kill you. And Haman wants to rule in your place. And Haman, the proof to this is, he's going to come to you tomorrow, and he's going to demand from you the person that tried to save your life. There's an individual in your Malchus that once tried to save your life. He's going to want to execute him. And the proof is, the proof that I'm telling you, the Baal HaChalaima says, the proof that I'm telling you is correct. Why don't you ask him what he wants? And you will see he's going to ask for your clothing, and for your horse, and for your crown. And this will be proof that what I'm telling you is true. So one more time over here. Let's go back a few words over here. He was Yosef Bereshe de Malka Unidos Yoshnostim Nikolila and the Omar La Loma Kodamoy Yosef, where they brought the Sefer Zichronos, and they were reading what happened to the predecessors. Okay, and then and as he was reading Vahav Mistakel Malka Vachazik Demus of Givar One, he saw in the dream the Demus of a person, Vahamul Malka, and this person in the dream said to him, Haman boil the Niktoloch, he wants to kill you. Vanamluch Yosech Hilufoch, and rule in your place. For Makdim but Safra is going to come early in the morning. O boil the Mishal Minoch Gavra de Farkoch Min Mosa. He is going to ask you to give over the person that saved you from death. And he's going to want to kill this person. Ella, if you don't believe what I'm saying is true, why don't you ask him, what should you do to a person, the Malka? What should be done to a person to whom the king wants to honor? And you will see the law shael minach. He will only ask of you ela levushin de malka, the clothing of the king, the chisra, the crown, the malchusa, the susyan, the horse, the rochev aloy malka, which the king rides.
So why does the plot then goes in a different direction? Mordechai says he seems to put it on Mordechai when it actually happens.
Yes.
At that point, now I got you. Now you wanted to kill me.
You want to kill me?
He told us already. If you're so paranoid, you should have killed Haman right away.
He wasn't 100% sure. Maybe this was a dream. So the dream, anything in the dream, maybe it's just a 40 in a you know, a Freudian slip. It's just some type of nonsense. Sometimes dreams don't have any real meaning. So I guess he wanted to test this dream. He didn't just want to kill Haman on the spot. Maybe Haman really is a good guy, and Mordechai is the bad guy. He wanted to see how things play out. Again, this bottom line over here, this very, very elaborate medrash, and the major targum and the major theme of that. There are many themes. There are many, many yisodes. We went through all them, but the main theme is: on this night, no one was able to get a good night's sleep. Not Achashverosh, not Esther, not Mordechai, not Klal Yisrael, not the Avos, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov also did not get a good night's sleep. They also had to go to Shemaim to be mispal for Klal Yisrael. And anyone else we left out? Zeresh seems to be sleeping. She was sleeping, it seems. But everyone on this night, this was the night when sleep does not function. The koyach of Shena was not operational on this night for the entire world. The Targum also elaborates on the intensity of the Gezerah. It was a Gezerah when we were vulnerable. It was a Gezerah that was unprecedented. L'hashmid l'harug l'abedis kol ha'yehudim. It was a time when the entire Klal Yisrael was in a state of mourning. And the only one that knew the secret here, the Targum, was one of the places where it says that even though this was a secret, it was a secret. Lios asidim layom hazen. No one knew exactly what's going to happen on this day, on the 13th day of Adar Sheni. But to Mordechai, the secret was revealed. It also meant, and he told Klal Yisrael. That's why they were all in a state of mourning. And in this Targum also reveals the shevach, the praise of Klal Yisrael when they complained to Mordechai, it's all your fault. And Mordechai said that you're not allowed to bow down to an idol. They accepted his explanation, which obviously served as a very great schus for Klal Yisrael. Okay, now a few other short things about this pasuk. It says over here, the yun nikro im lifnei hamelach. The mefarshim amadayik that the sefer miraculously spoke itself. It's like, you know, today it's no big deal. Today, audible, right? Audio books. The books talk. The computer talks itself. They were way ahead of their time. They brought out like an iPad, right, of the Sefer HaZichronos, and they just pressed the button. And Nikra'im Lifnei HaMelech, they read by itself. They read before the king by itself. Okay, there's another
version. The scribes present, the scribe was the son of Haman, and tried to
erase the page. That's going to be Pasuk Beis. Miraculously, they were forced to reveal exactly what it says. And there's a very beautiful, the Medrash says, Balailahu noded Ashnas HaMelech, refers again to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vayomer L'Havi Sefer HaZichronos, to bring the Sefer Torah. Sefer HaZichronos is a reference to the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. The reason why we're calling it here Sefer HaZichronos is because of the pasuk Kisoiv Zois Zikoroin BaSefer V'Sim BeOzne Yehoshua Kimocho Emche Ezecher Amalek. So being that it says Kisoiv Zikoroin BaSefer, when we refer here to the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, we refer to it with the word Sefer HaZichronos, because at this moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided he's going to save Klal Yisrael. When he saw that Klal Yisrael was doing tshuva, Lech Kenais Eskol HaYehudim, they were fasting for 3 days, and they were doing tshuva, he decided, bring me the Sefer Torah, I'm going to fulfill what it says, Kimocho Emche Ezecher Amalek, I'm going to destroy Haman and Achashverosh, I'm going to undo their plot.
What part of the Sefer Torah did you get?
No, this is in Shemayim. This is a drush. It's a drush in Shemayim. In Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Klal Yisrael is doing tshuva, bring me the Sefer HaZichronos.
Do what with it?
I'm going to fulfill what it says.
When HaKadosh, read it.
That's what it means. I'm going to read it. The Yudnikrim, bring me the Sefer HaZichronos, Devrei Hayamim. The Torah is called the Sefer HaZichronos, Devrei Hayamim. It was written, it was created before the world was created. Devrei, the words Hayamim, which ancient times, chronicles. Torah was written before the world was even created. It records the entire events of world history, are hinted to in Chamish Shechum She Torah. The Yudnikrim, Lufnei HaMelech, and let that pasuk that says, Ki Machoem Chazecher Amalek, let that pasuk be read before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will act upon upon it and bring about the death of Haman HaRasha.
So they actually read from
it's a Drush in Shemayim. It's a Drush.
Yes.
Well, it says in the passage they read, the Yihyu Nikroim, and let the Sefer Torah read by itself. Let those words of the Sefer Torah present themselves before me. Let the words of the Sefer Torah present themselves before me, and I will hear what the Torah says. I wrote the Torah, I created the Torah, and I will fulfill what it says and wipe out Amalek.
Isn't that one of the psukim that are the canonization of Megillas Esther? They cite this passage also.
Kisov Zos Yikom HaSev, how many times? Yeah, that's one of the psukim from which we learn that Megillas Esther can enter into the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. That is correct. Okay, but here it's a very, very unique type of drush. they say, you know, every so often I have the good fortune to lane, and sometimes I lane from a very nice Sefer Torah, and sometimes you have a Talmud Chacham who gets an Aliyah and they're very impressed with the Sefer. I've heard this line a few times. And the Sefer Torah is so beautiful. It's written with such oifen mehudar. They say, the Sefer Torah reads by itself. The Ksav is so beautiful. The words jump off the page. You don't even need to read the Sefer Torah. It's Ki'ilu, the Sefer Torah. The words come forth, they read by themselves. Now this, by the way, this expression of the unique room of the Amelech is also, this expression is borrowed, we borrow this expression in the Unisane Toikef. So what are the words of the Unisane Toikef? Let me see if I can find it. The Sefer Azichronis, Ume'elov Yikore, right, the words, and it reads by itself. The Sefer on the Yom Hadin, the Sefer HaZichronos of men, all of his good deeds, all of his sins, it reads by itself. You don't even need the Malach to come forth and read the words. What it says, the words jump off the page before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ume'elav Yikore, it's taken from this pasuk Nikroim. It should be read. It should be read by itself. We don't even need a person to actually read the words. Let's go to pasuk Beis. Vayimotzei Kosov. What did it say in the Sefer HaZichronos? Asher Yigid Mordechai al Biksono. Biksona Vaseresh. He reported about the plot of Biksona Vaseresh. Shnei Sarisei HaMelech Mishamei HaSaf. We learned last time that we learned that Saf means either one of two things. Either it means the pots, the food. They were in charge of the food, or it means what?
We did the Rashi.
The Pasuk Alpha, we did the Rashi. Yes, on Pasuk we did yesterday the Rashi's. So here he says it should be brought. Who are big son of Aseresh? They are two of the officers of the king, Mishamrei Hasaf. That means either they were the guards; they stood at the threshold. You shall take the Saf is the like the lintel, the threshold, or Saf is a reference to the pots. They were in charge of the kitchen. They had access to food, and they had the ability to poison the king. Asher Bikshu, they sought L'Shloyach Yod B'Melech HaChashverosh. Now the first of all asked the question, why is the word Biksona spelled here with an Aleph? Back in the beginning of the Megillah, he's called Bikson. Here, all of a sudden, the Aleph is added. Why is there an Aleph? So there are a few answers. One of the more popular answers is that in the Megillah was written Bikson O Seresh. Okay, you take the Aleph and the Vav. Bikson Ol Seresh. When the event was recorded originally, the scribe was not a fan of Mordechai. He had a lot of pain. He had a lot of pain in recording this good deed of Mordechai. The Mordechai uncovered the plot to assassinate the king. So what did he do? He turned it into a criticism of Mordechai by saying only one of the two really wanted to kill the king. Our evidence, we made a very thorough investigation of there was an assassination plot, it's true, but we could not pin it down on exactly who was planning to kill the king. All we were able to uncover in our investigation is that between the two, one of these two, Bikson or Seresh, wanted to kill the king. And each one blamed the other. Bikson said it wasn't me, it was Seresh. And Seresh said it wasn't me, it was Bikson. And each one shifted the blame on the other. So the king said, kill them both. And that is how they wanted to record. Now that wasn't true. The truth was they both together planned to kill the king. Maybe that was part of their plan, is that they did it in a way where no one alone can be caught. They committed the perfect crime. No one alone could be caught. If they were caught, each one would be able to deflect the blame to the other person. And that way no one would be punished, because you can't prove, you can't execute a person unless he's proven guilty. Just because between the two of them there is guilt, as long as you cannot identify, you cannot pin the exact sin on one particular person, you can't kill either one of the two. Ahasuerus decided to kill them both. But the scribe, the people, the critics, the enemies of Mordechai wanted to use this against Mordechai by saying, because of Mordechai, an innocent person died. Instead of look at this, this event, and look what happened, that Mordechai saved the life of the king. There's always two ways to look at everything, right? Instead of looking this story that Mordechai saved the life of Ahasuerus, let's look at it that Mordechai is responsible for the death of an innocent man. Because our investigation could not prove that either one of them was planning to kill. The only thing that we can prove in our investigation is that one of the two wanted to kill Ahasuerus. So the scribe recorded Bichson Seresh. So now, when it came time to read the Zifa Zichronos, and Ahasuerus is going to give reward to the person that revealed this, that saved his life, they'll right away say, it was Bichson Seresh. You can't give reward to Mordechai. Mordechai is a guilty man. He is responsible for the death of one of the greatest leaders of the kingdom of Persia, Bichson and Seresh. These were nobodies. These were very distinguished people. And one of them died for no good reason. So Mordechai would not have received reward. In fact, Mordechai would have been demoted if they would have analyzed the situation. So the Malach came, and the Malach came along and miraculously took the word O and pushed them. Put the Aleph against Bichson and put the Vav for Seresh. So now it read Bichsona Viva Seresh.
Literally, Bichson.
Okay, this is a popular virus. I remember hearing this one as a child. What?
Literally, it's Bichson Vosseresh.
Yeah,
it was Bichson
Vosseresh.
Yeah, but it says Bichson.
But they wrote in the chronicles, in the records, Bichson Seresh. Bichson, originally, right, the truth was, the honest truth was, they both plotted together. But when they launched the investigation, it was told, Mordechai told this information to Esther, and Esther told the information to Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus launched an investigation. The results, the conclusion of the investigation, it's true, there was an assassination plot. It was either Bichson or Seresh. We cannot prove which one it was. When we asked them, each one put shifts to blame on the other, and therefore, well, there's nothing we can really do to either one of them. We can't kill either one of them. We can't even lock them up in jail, because either one, you're innocent until proven guilty. You can't prove I'm guilty. You can't prove he's guilty. Even though it's true that between the two, there was definitely a plan to kill the king. But since we can't prove either one, they're both innocent. So the king, for whatever reason, he decided, I don't care. Since one of you is guilty, I'm going to kill you both. Now that was illegal. And who was the cause of this tragedy? Mordechai, because he's the one that brought forth the information. Even though the truth was they both plotted together, and even though Mordechai, in the big picture of things, did save the life of the king, yet, we know how it works. When you have an enemy, they'll always find a way to take something good and turn it into something no good. So that's what they did. Bichson Seresh, and this would not have been a milah for Mordechai. The Malach came and made it Bichsona Voseresh. Now, there's another interpretation. The other interpretation is when you, in this is a rule in grammar in Aramaic, and it's a rule in I don't know, and this is what it says in the Farshim in Persia, that when you have a person whose name ends with an aleph, you lower their stature. It's like you call someone Yankala, Avramelah, Ephraimka, all of these baby names. You take a child and you call him Meirlah. You call someone Yosselah. You take someone, you don't call Obama Obamelah. Okay? You don't call the king. You don't call King Edward King Edward Law. You don't do that. You don't call someone. You add an aleph. It's like you're making of them like you're just a yingle. You're a yingle. So here, what?
Charvona is not the same thing.
Charvona.
Then change to a.
You change different letters. So over here, some of the Farshim explain is that really the truth was these people, Bigson Vaseresh, they were chashuvim. They were very chashuvim people, and their assassination plot against the king was very significant. When you say, oh, I'll read you a story about Bigson-in-law, a little yingle. There was a little yingle in the yard that insulted the king. It's a form of language where you try to diminish the significance of what has happened and who the person was. Endearment. Okay, so it's a diminishment. That's maybe another idea. But it's a diminishment of who they really were and the significance of what they tried. In other words, it's true. Let's explain. It's true. There was a plot by Bigson to assassinate the king. But in other words, he never would have succeeded anyway. He was a nothing. If he was Bigson with the spell properly, you know what that means? It means he had access to the king. He had access to classified information. He knew exactly where the king was every moment of the day. And if he wanted to carry out the plot, he would have succeeded. But when you say he wasn't Bigson, he was Bigson-in-law. He was just a child. He was an intern. He was a nachshlapa. He was an intern. He carried your golf bag. He did not have access. He did not have security clearance. Every time that he accompanied the king, they patted him down. They inspected him. So he never would have succeeded in assassinating the king anyway. Therefore, it's really no big deal that Mordechai informed that he was trying to kill the king. If Mordechai would have tried to tell you that the vice president is trying to assassinate the president, that's a big deal. Because the vice president has easy access, is not subject to scrutiny like anyone else. So he can come into the Oval Office whenever he wants and do whatever he wants. So then, for Mordechai to reveal this secret, oh, that's a big deal. He really saved the life of the king. But when you go tell the king that an intern, someone who applied to be an intern, not even an intern, someone who filled out an application to be an intern for a secretary to a secretary of a secretary to the president, has this plot all the way down the line. He was planning and plotting what's going to be the first to get the job. And after I get the job, I'm then going to work for the second. Then after 2 years, I'm going to work for the next level, the next level, the next level. It never would have come to fruition, such a plan. So Mordechai is not deserving that he should receive reward. That is why when they report, it's an inflection. The aleph here in the word Bigson, from Bigson to Bigsona, was expressed with an inflection in order to give over the impression to the king that it's really no big deal what this person, what Mordechai did for you, because anyway, he would not have been successful. Okay, we'll stop.